On this week's show, we welcome Dave Ossrey of New Blood Interactive to take us on a redneck rampage through the backwater boondocks of Dusk. Speaking of fresh corpses, Nintendo pulls the plug on Metroid Prime 4 and gives it a retro revival. And finally, X marks the spot in the most extreme hype zone yet. This is Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 83.
Sounds a little bit like Cookie Monster, but I like it. I'm down with that. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Nintendo Dual Screens, episode 83 for the week of January 28th, 2019. I am your resident idiot, Stephen Fontana, and with me, as always, is my co-host, my partner, my best friend. He is Andy Asimakis.
I regret all those titles. Co-host, best friend.
You're...
so much regret right now.
I'll let you, obviously Dusk inspired me to do that, but it was a very specific moment that scared the shit out of me when I was playing last night. But speaking of Dusk, our guest here, the third voice that you're going to hear today, is Dave Ossrey of New Blood Interactive. How are you, Dave?
Good, doing quite well, thank you.
Thank you so much for coming on.
Sure.
I'm super excited to get into the conversation about Dusk because, as I said, I played it last night for the first time, and I played it on stream. I was streaming it, had a bunch of people watching, and it was an absolute blast. So I cannot wait to get into Dusk. So thank you again so much for joining us this week.
Yeah, sweet. Dusk, never heard of it. I don't know about it.
Never heard of it. Never heard of it ever. This is a small thing.
Sounds pretty cool.
Definitely is. For those of you who are new to Nintendo Dual Screens Podcast, this is a show where Andy and I and many different indie devs and voice actors and whoever we, you know, just overall awesome people come on and we talk about the Nintendo news that you absolutely need to know about, and we have an open discussion about Nintendo's past, present, and future. Nintendo Dual Screens posts each and every Monday for your listening pleasure on your podcast service of choice, including iHeartRadio and Spotify. You can support us on Patreon by going to patreon.com/NDSpodcast, just like our Patreon producers, Colton Nessler and Alex Gonzalez. Thank you, gentlemen. We cannot continue to grow without your support. Remember, for as little as $1, you can support us, and that $1 will get you into our exclusive, super exclusive VIP Discord channel. If you want to be a part of the show, please email us at feedback@ndspodcast.com. That's feedback@ndspodcast.com. Andy, by the way, I don't know if you checked that email, because in the stream, a bunch of people did say that they would love to ask questions about Dusk. So you might want to check the email. I don't know if you did before the show. But anyway, before we get into the lead story, which is all about Dusk, before we get into the Nintendo News Report, what should we be playing? Andy, let's start with you.
You should be playing a charming little game for the Switch. It's actually a 3DS game first. It's a port with 3DS title called Cursed Castilla EX or X.
That's what you think.
Yeah. It's a game by it's a one-man team. And it's a lot like Super Ghouls and Ghosts, you know, those games, essentially, back in the day. Mm-hmm. It was arcade. Capcom arcade hits, and it's, yeah, you play as a knight, you kill some demons, you get 3 hits, then you die, and that's it. Game over. So get good if you want to enjoy that game.
Yeah, I know about that. That was, yeah. Those games always kick me right in the nuts.
Yeah, but you know, it speaks to my love of sprites and retro 8-bit platformers, so.
Indeed.
If you're not sick of those yet, pick up that game.
platformers,
indeed.
That hot new
genre.
That upcoming genre.
I hear they're going to start making ones where you go to the left now. It's going to be mind-blowing.
I don't believe that one bit. That can't be. That can't be. You know how many people's brains would be broken?
That's some next-gen shit, Dave. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Speaking of, Dave, why don't you tell us what we should be playing?
I don't know. On Nintendo?
Anything.
Shit. I have to use my Switch more in order to be on this podcast.
No, you can tell any game. Any game you think that the people should be playing.
Anything. I mean, so we got Far Cry New Dawn coming out soon, so ooh. I decided to finally finish Far Cry 5 after a year of not playing it because they spoiled the fucking ending when they announced the new one. And I was like, you know what? And I was really digging it, so I decided to finish it. I was like halfway done, and now I'm 95% done, so Far Cry 5 rolls. So you should get through Far Cry 5 if you like Far Cry. I think it's the best one since 2, 3? Definitely since 2 or 3. What else have I been playing? I don't know. Subnautica was the game of the year, and they're going to be coming out with their standalone expansion on the 30th in Early Access. I'm excited about that.
Did I actually pick that game up?
Subnautica on Switch? No, it's not.
No, it was.
That ain't going to run on Switch.
No.
Yeah, Subnautica was free on the Epic Store. It's the greatest game of all time. It's so good. It's game of the year 2018.
Look at 100%. This hot takes.
What else should you be playing?
Scathing hot takes over here from Dave.
No, it's just a two again. What else came out? I don't know. What came out? Did anything come out? Dusk came out, but it's not on Switch yet. Dusk, that was like a month ago. Dusk is old news. I don't know. I guess you should be playing. Everybody else is playing Resident Evil 2 Remake. Too scary for me. I ain't playing that shit. I played the original.
Too scary.
I played the original 20 years ago when I was a kid, and I didn't sleep for like 3 months, so fuck that. And then the Anthem demo. I play a little bit of the Anthem demo, and it was pretty good. You move, run around, shoot stuff, and then you get some loot. It's, I don't know. It's like Destiny third person with jetpacks.
And you could shoot, and you could like fight above you. That's
yeah. I mean, it's very vertical, so you could fly like Superman, and then you know, shoot stuff, and then you could talk to people. I guess.
There you
like
go.
It's like a mix of like 10 games. It's pretty good, I guess.
It runs
like hot ass, but I mean, that's what you expect.
The best sales pitch for a game ever.
Yeah, I like it so far, but I mean, I was like struggling to get 60 frames per second on my PC, and I've got a very good PC.
Get your shit together, EA. I am going to recommend, if you are a multiplayer fan and you like competitive specifically, and you like GoldenEye from back in the day, everybody remembers when you're sitting down playing GoldenEye, the one thing you had to worry about in split screen four player was motherfuckers looking at your screen. Am I right? We call them screen lookers. Those bastards.
Screen cheats.
The official title.
Indeed, those screen lookers. Well, there's a game that is on the Switch now, and it's called Screen Cheat Unplugged.
Yeah, I remember that game when it was on PC, like
indeed.
Years ago.
And the whole premise of the game is that your characters are all invisible, and the only way for you to know where to shoot is to look at the other player's screen to see where they are. And it is a hilarious premise. And it's fucking great. It's done really well. So if you're interested in that kind of thing, if you have your buddies over often enough, do it. Four-player split screen cheat. And that's... Oh, Jesus, I almost knocked over all my drinks. Oh, my word. And that is the recommendations of what you should be playing. Andy?
Steven?
Before we get into the lead story, we should probably tell people what's coming out this week, right? Anything
good?
Important stuff?
Any good games coming out this week?
There's nothing coming out until the 29th. You got Mages of Mistralia, which actually looks pretty cool.
We're going to be coming out with a Medieval Episode 6, not on Switch.
I guess Hyper Ride looks good.
The only game I care about is Downwell.
Yeah, Downwell, yep.
And
Dragon Marked for Death.
Dragon Marked for Death.
Yeah. So keep your eyes peeled for that. But I don't want to spend too much time on the games this week because I want to talk about Dusk. So that's going to bring us into the lead story. Dave, you made this game. You did this thing. You made Dusk, and my experience with it, I'm gonna set the stage here. Never played it. Haven't played a game like that since the games like that came out, which, you know, I was a mere child. Mm-hmm. So wasn't quite prepared. I got to be honest. I had an absolute blast. You put together a really satisfying old school first person shooter experience, and I was really impressed with it, because I wasn't expecting, and it's not a knock on you or anything like that, but like I just wasn't expecting much, because I know how far shooters have come, and it's been so long since I saw where shooters came from that I was kind of expecting it to be a downgrade in the quality of what a first person shooter is. And surprising to me is that it not only holds up to first person shooter standards, it actually makes the experience a little bit more, because it strips away a lot of the nonsense that you see in shooters now, it's actually more true to be an actual first person shooter. So what's your experience with this type of shooter? Like, did you grow up with this? Is this something that you always had installed in your computer? Because I know that there's communities that still play Doom 2 and you know, Quake and all those original games and Wolfenstein and all that stuff. Did you always stick around with those types of games?
Yeah, I mean, I've been, you know, what am I? I'm like 35. So when I was, you know, one of the games that changed my life was obviously Wolf 3D. I remember playing on my buddy's 486. In black and white, and I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. You can fucking shoot Nazis in the face and 3D. Wow, this is so cool. Graphics will never be better than this. And then obviously I loved everything from, you know, Doom to Quake to Half-Life, you know, Blood, Duke, Shadow Warrior, even Marathon, you know, Rise of the Triad. Obviously, all those games. So the retro first-person shooters. Well, now they're retro. Back then, they were just what we had. So I grew up with those, and then, you know, 20 or so odd years later, I ended up working on reboots of those games. You know, did the re-releases of like Duke 1, Duke 2, and then did the big re-release of Rise of the Triad, the reboot of Rise of the Triad in 2013. You know, I was one of the directors on that. And then I've kind of had my hand in, I don't know, almost every retro shooter thing since 2012, 2013. And I guess all I learned from that culminated with what I was able to do with David and Dusk. You know, just kind of this mix of not only, you know, every first-person shooter from the 90s, but also immersive sims, horror games, you know, just bits and pieces from everything we loved about all the first-person games of the 90s and early 2000s. Distilled into this one fun little, game. We built it with the community over like 3 years. And then it finally came out last December, and it's done super duper well, and we're super duper happy. Now we're doing other stuff. We're still working on Dusk too. We got plenty more Dusk stuff to come, but that's basically how it happened.
It's pretty interesting. And before I give it to Andy, cause I know he's chomping at the bit here. When I downloaded it, and I was scrolling through like the community stuff on Steam, yeah. And I saw stuff from pretty while back, and like you'll see almost through the comments, you'll see how the game changed and evolved based on the feedback that you were getting, and I'm assumed it was changing based off of that feedback, just because it kind of like the whole. Like people were very supportive, but it almost seemed like it was kind of just this upward trajectory of positivity and excitement. I thought that was pretty interesting what I was reading. I was just kind of flipping through, because sometimes you'll get your trolls, you'll get your people like, this is ass or whatever, and then you'll look at their playtime and it's like 0.1 minute or 0.1 hour or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, okay, buddy. But then you'll see people that have like 50, 60, 70 hours in this game and have been playing it for years, and I'm like, wait, did this just come out? But no,
playing. Yeah, we did a pre alpha back in 2017. We started doing pre-orders with episode one in late 2017, early access at the beginning of 2018, January, and then the full game came out in December of 2018. And we had steady updates the whole time. So yeah, we've had people who've been with us since like day one, and then people who are just jumping in now. And you know, that's the way to build a game these days, especially in the indie space. Because then by the time you come out, there's really nothing that's going to surprise you. Like, you know how people feel about your game. You know if you're doing things right. And then it's just about, you know, getting the people who you think would like it into it and trying to sell some copies and have some fun.
Do you ever get into like a comfort zone, or do you try and always kind of take small risks when you're adding stuff to the game, or are you in just like a kind of comfortable area where you kind of, you know what you have to do to keep people happy, and you're just kind of play it safe for a little bit?
You know, I think, not really. I mean, we don't really play it safe. I mean, we're in the indie space, right? We don't have like investors or publishers or anything. Right. So we make the kind of shit that we like to play. And you know, we just kind of, you know, my whole philosophy is never rush, never stress, never crunch. So we just kind of work on it till we know it's good and then get it out there. There's definitely times where we like to chill. Like after we put Dusk out, you know, I was like, everybody, we're going on break for like 2 weeks. Nobody fucking do anything. And now we're like slowly working on post-launch content, having time to work on the other games that New Blood's working on. So it's good. It's good to have like, it's good to have Dusk, like, you know, the core game finished and out there so we can relax a bit. The fact that it did well, obviously, is allowing us to relax a bit. You know, we're not going broke. I don't have to live in my car. So it's been good. It's going to allow us to keep doing what we like to do, which is, you know, just great.
Take it away, Andy.
Thank you, Steven. Mm-hmm. So I was going to ask you, Dave, like, you know, you mentioned how you're 35 years old. I think we're all in the same age range, the three of us on this podcast chatting right now. And when I first saw this game, it immediately like grabbed me, because it was, again, just games like Quake and Doom that I grew up with. Mm-hmm. But did you feel like, given its aesthetic and how the gameplay was, that maybe a younger audience would have a hard time connecting with it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, but we're not making a game for, you know, necessarily for, you know, any specific audience. I mean, we're definitely making it for people who remember these kind of games, but like, mm-hmm. we're not like, oh man, we got to connect with the kids. We got to add like, you know, weapon skins and dances and shit. Like, it's just not something we think about. We just try to make the best game that we can. And, you know, definitely start, my whole philosophy is like, start with your core. Like, obviously the people who are the most interested in Dusk are going to be old school Quake, Doom, gamers who remember those kind of games. And then, like, you know, as you slowly build out, like, I've seen like younger gamers who don't remember, you know, who never played like Doom or Quake or Blood or Half-Life, and they're like, oh my god, I love this, it's so fast, I've never played anything like this before. I'm like, yeah man, that's how games used to be. You know, but it's not like we're going out and reaching and trying to find, like, you know, trying to connect with, you know, a younger audience or a wider audience, because they're not going to care. If we try to like appeal to like everyone, they're going to be like, okay, what's this? And they buy it and they'll be like, I don't like this. This isn't for me at all. And they leave like a bad review. You definitely want to sell games to the people who are going to like your game. And then hopefully, you know, kind of branch out a bit. But don't just shotgun it out to everyone. Be like, here's this game, you might like it. You know, you're not going to appeal to everyone with a game like this, you know. But as long as we're, you know, we're making money and we're profitable and we're having fun, I'm happy.
How badly do you feel the need to slap children when they say it has Minecraft graphics?
I mean, it does. I mean, they're not wrong. I don't want to slap them. And anytime somebody mentions Minecraft, I guess that's good for our search engine optimization. So yeah. I think I got one of the websites I got was like, it has minecraftgraphics.com or I got macaroniart.com. Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I mean, we could have very easily made Dusk with like more graphics, but it wouldn't have been the same game. Plus, it would have taken us way longer. If we ever make Dusk 2, it'll have so many graphics. But also, like, we've got the SDK and mod tools coming out, so people will be able to fucking, you know, redo the textures and shit if they want and give it all the graphics they want.
Nah, I think it's fine the way it is. This is just a gorgeous looking game. It's exactly how it's supposed to be. I feel in the looks department, I wouldn't change a goddamn thing.
Yeah, I mean, especially, you know, there's a lot of moments where it's really like, wow, this is actually a pretty good looking game. I mean, obviously, like, the models are super low poly and textures are super low res, but it's consistent, which is what's important.
Yeah, there was a game that I had played earlier last year called Strafe.
Yeah,
that it looked like the game, like, you know, those old school like FPS games, but when I played it, it wasn't it wasn't that great. And then when I finally played Dusk, I was like, see, this is what I wanted to play.
Yeah, I think a lot of what happened with Strafe is that people were expecting it to be more of a, you know, a handcrafted, you know, retro bunny hopping experience, you know, and it was more of a, you know, hold one weapon, roguelike, die and play again type of game. And that was because, you know, they had really cool commercials and everything. And, you know, people didn't like read the fine print and be like, and where it says, hey, this is a roguelike where you can hold one weapon at a time and you're probably going to die. You know, it's a much, it's, you know, it's one of those kind of games. Whereas, you know, in Doom and Quake and stuff, you probably usually never die. You know, I never die in Doom and Quake and Dusk and stuff, but it's, you know, level by level, episode by episode, that old school structure, hold 9 weapons at the time, that kind of thing.
Making me feel bad about myself for my piss poor performance last night.
If you caught Steven's stream last night.
I was playing on I Can Take It, I believe was the...
Yeah, that's normal difficulty.
Yeah. Well, I couldn't take it for at least the first 40 minutes. Then I started to get pretty good. One complaint. God damn it with the crawling through the tunnel things. That is absolutely nauseating. For somebody with vertigo, I was crossing my eyes. But yeah, I was having a blast with it, for sure.
Cool. Glad to hear it.
What are some of your favorite weapons in the game? Because there's a lot of them in this game. There's like a metric fuck ton of weapons in this game.
My favorite weapons?
Yeah.
I like the dual single shotguns. Those have always been my favorite since we started working on them. And Andrew had the idea to give it that reload that Arnold does in Terminator 2 when he's on the bike, you know, the boom, and he flips it around to reload.
That was
100% based on that, you know, the chase scene in Terminator 2. And once we had that going and the speed of him going, it's actually the exact same speed as Reaper in fucking Overwatch, somebody told us.
Holy shit, you're right.
Yeah, those have been my favorite. Yeah, boom, boom, boom. It's the same as Reaper. Those are my favorite. A lot of people love the super shotgun. Everyone loves it. I've never been a double shotgun fan. I don't even like it in Doom 2. Everyone tells me I'm crazy. I just don't like double barrel shotguns. I like the single shotguns. The Riveter is obviously fun. I like the mortar a lot. There's a lot of people who don't like the mortar. That's because they use it wrong. They don't realize that the mortars inherit your momentum, so you can actually fire them super fast and bounce them off walls. People forget you can detonate them. The mortar is one of my favorite weapons to use. The crossbow you can fly with, and it goes through walls. That's obviously pretty fun. I think the hunting rifle is probably my favorite.
That was the last one that I got, the last unique one that I got before I ended my play last night. I got to the Cuddy Cave or something like that.
Cuddy Mine, yeah.
Yeah, the Cuddy Mine. That rifle was my favorite thing, just lining them up and trying to like knock them down. That was fun.
Yeah, it one-shots, you know, most weak enemies, and it's you can, you know, zoom with it and snipe with it, and it's really satisfying, you know, to get those booms. And you can obviously, when you hit R, it does its little spin, which is pretty sweet. But yeah, hunting rifle is a great weapon. I don't know, they're all great. I don't like the SSG that much. The assault rifle is just an assault rifle. It's good for mowing stuff down, but doesn't really do anything for me. The pistols are there. you know, like I've never been, people like them. I mean, they're the fallback weapon, right? When all else fails, you'll probably have 300 pistol, you know, bullets to use. Did I forget any? Oh, the sword. The sword's great. Me and David reworked that sword so many times until it feels really good to block and stab and stuff. We kind of made first-person melee pretty fun, but you don't really get to do that until episode 3, so you're going to have to keep going to see how the sword works.
Ooh, a little carrot at the end of the stick. I like it.
Well, yeah.
Little red steel action.
I think the most important question in my mind, I mean, it's all good stuff, talking about the weapons, the look of the game, the feel of the game, but what I want to know, Dave.
Yeah.
When is this bacon scented soap coming out?
When we make it, I actually have. I've been talking to the indie box guys. It's going in the special edition. We're trying to do like the big box edition. It's probably not going to be bacon scented. It'll probably just be regular scented, because it's like the bacon scent's going to cost like an extra $1 per bar of soap. So that would, you know, increase the cost of like every box by like, you know, $1.50, and that's an extra like, you know, $10,000. I'm not doing that. So it'll probably just be regular soap smelling soap that says Dusk on it, which is fine.
And that's of course the most powerful weapon in the entire game is a bar of soap.
Yes. I forget when that we realized that. I think it was like an accident. David had it set to like 9,000 damage or something, and we just thought it was so funny that we decided to keep it. And then people liked it so much, we decided to put a bar of soap in every level of the game. And then it just became like, you know, a meme. And now it's an achievement for finding every bar of soap in the game. It's just like a thing. It became like a Dusk thing. So, you know, the soap is, it's powerful. Also, it reminds smelly nerds to wash themselves after they're done playing Dusk.
Oh, we got PAX East coming up. That's a really good thing to remind them of.
Yes, please.
Aww, yes, that.
Now there's your viral marketing. Give out some bacon on a stick and bars of soap.
Yeah.
Look at that. It practically sells itself.
Yeah.
Making me hungry. I only recently started eating bacon again. Oh, I want bacon. Damn it. So I want to talk a little bit about the enemy designs. I didn't see all of them. Where did that come from? Where did some of those, do you have any interesting stories about the monster designs and whatnot?
Not really. I mean, David came up with all those. My claim to fame was, yeah, it's been so long. Making the, yeah, it's been the leather.
Whose idea was it for the Spectre Klansman?
So that was a combination. I think it was my idea. I think they were, I forget what they were before, and they were kind of like the robe. And I'm like, let's just make them look like the KKK because then we can make different colors. And then I think the leather necks were my idea. And then the soldiers we redid, the leathernecks, you know, chainsaw wielding, you know, leather face type.
Yeah.
Dudes, I think were my idea. It's been so long.
Dude, I gotta be honest, the first Scarecrow scared the shit out of me.
Yeah, so Scarecrow with a shotgun, Scarecrow with a shotgun was my idea, and then making them come to life was David's idea. And you know, the fact that, like, you know, once you realize they can come to life, you think everyone's gonna do that, and then they don't all do that, and you're like, god damn it, you like run up to one and nothing happens, then you run up to another one, it's like, ah. Those were some great moments. But it's mostly, yeah, just weird shit from David's brain, especially like the stuff in episode 2 and 3. You're like, wow, man, it's pretty fucked up. Some pretty fucked up things. You know, a dog in a cart with no legs, you know, just, and the legs are like pinned to the side of the thing, you know. Those the cowgirls were originally like way more fucked up, and I was like, you got to tone it down on the body horror, dude. And I've like, you know, they like sewn up the JJs and stuff, and like, you know, the, I was like, we gotta maybe make it a little bit less disgusting.
Gonna get banned in Germany. Gotta watch out.
Basically, yeah. Rise of the Triads banned in Germany, both of them. But yeah. How
has the success been?
It's good. It's only been like a month since it came out. It's doing really well. It's made enough money that we can keep making games, which is, you know, all we really want to do.
It's the dream.
You know, we're not like millionaires or anything, obviously. We didn't make fucking Stardew Valley. But the best part is we're like just getting started, right? We have a whole, it's only been on Steam. We've got like a whole year's worth of stuff we're putting out. We're putting it on Mac and then Linux, then GOG, and then Switch, PS4, Xbox, you know, Epic Store, you know. So there's going to be like a really long life for this thing, and hopefully it'll be able to, you know, keep making us, you know, revenue and royalties, so we can just, you know, keep adding to the game, keep making new games, keep doing fun shit like making like merch and special editions and, you know, bars of soap and dumb shit. You know, just doing what people want us to do, you know, which is keep making more games like Dusk. So it's been good. I mean, we're happy. I mean, it'd be cool if we sold like a million copies, but like, you know, Dusk isn't that kind of a game, right?
I think it could be. I got to be honest with you, because there's definitely an audience that doesn't know they need the game.
Fair.
Well, that's what
like Switch is for, right? Like when everybody's like, oh my God, this game on Switch. And like, there's nothing like, you know, Dusk in a Medieval on Switch. I mean, there's like, I think like Immortal Rednecks on there, and obviously Doom and Wolf are on there, but it's like the new Doom and Wolfenstein. Like there's no, right. A lot of the people who have Switch and PS4 and Xbox have never played a game like Doom and Quake or Blood or Half-Life, Hex and Heretic, stuff like that. So I think, especially because we've got it, you know, we've got it 60 frames, because it's going to control, you know, so fun and fast and stuff. It already plays pretty well on Switch. It's going to be, I think it's going to open it up to like a whole new, you know, group of players, and hopefully it does super well. I mean, I'd be happy.
What can you tell us about the Switch build? Is there anything that you can share with our listeners? You know, how the development's been going?
Pretty good. I mean, it's been kind of on hold since we got it running on there, just because we were finishing the game on PC.
Sure.
And then, you know, we got it at 60 frames was no problem. The controls are going to be, you know, the best part. We're going to try to, you know, do some fun stuff with gyro aiming and stuff like that. We're going to see if, you know, if we could have, you know, because I don't think multiplayer is going to be a thing on Switch, but, you know, co-op might be, because co-op's something we're shooting towards later this year. So maybe that'll be part of the Switch version. We're going to try to do split screen co-op, because obviously that's like a real Nintendo thing. You know, if you've got, especially if you've got, you know, two Switches, actually two Switch, you're not supposed to say Switches, it's Switch like fish or deer. I learned that at a Nintendo conference.
wow, okay, there we go.
Nintendo. It's not Nintendo Switches. It's Nintendo Switch, like fish or sheep.
And this is the company that came up with me and Wii.
Yeah, you're not supposed to say Switches. That's how you pluralize it, with just Switch. Like, I have 10 Nintendo Switch. Not, I have 10 Nintendo Switches. That's wrong. You will fail. You'll fail certification. Your game will be resubmitted. I swear to God, this is the kind of stuff you have to learn to finish video games. But yeah, we're trying to do some fun stuff with the Joy-Cons and gyro, and hopefully split screen co-op and other stuff to like just make sense for the Switch platform. But then obviously, you know, solid 60 frames, can't go any higher, literally, because the Switch will catch fire. So it's locked at 60. Yeah, because I mean, we'd love to do like 144, but I don't know if we could, and B, I don't know if the fans and those things can handle them. There's a reason everything, you know, 60 is the max. You don't want the Switch to fucking overheat and melt. But yeah, other than that, just, you know, trying to make it as fluid and fun and fast as possible. Like, we want, it's the first console we're going to be putting it on. So we want it to really stand out and, you know, use all those features. Because, like, Nintendo loves that as well. Like, when you, you know, if we just port it, like, here it is, it's on Switch, you know, that's what the fucking point of that. You know, Nintendo likes it when you use the features that the Switch has, you know, like HD Rumble, and use the Joy-Cons in cool ways, and, you know, gyro aiming and motion aiming and stuff like that. Who knows? Maybe we can make it so if you flip the Joy-Cons, it like spins your weapons like it does in the game. Like, who knows? We're going to try. We're going to try to do all kinds of fun shit.
That'd be really cool.
That'd be so badass.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool. It's cool in my head, but I'm not the guy who has to program it and make it work. So, like, we'll see how it goes.
It'd be cool.
Is that other Dave for that?
No, so Dave's not doing the console ports. Our QA dudes are doing that, and they've, you know, it's been pretty easy so far. Mostly because it's Unity 2018, Unity and Unreal Engine make it pretty easy to do ports for the most part, which is why we, you know, use popular engines and not, you know, crazy, you know niche engines, or, you know, retro engines that weren't made to run on modern systems.
It'd be cool if you could get the Diablo amiibo to work somehow in the game. Like,
yeah, it'd be cool if we had like a little leatherneck amiibo, and like you put it in and like drop ammo or something. But only like really big games get amiibos. Plus, they're like super expensive to make.
Just program it so that it uses theirs. That's all.
Yeah, one of their amiibos. Yeah, you stick. I had an idea that because we have a sword in the game. I had an idea, if you put Link on the Link amiibo on it, you'd get the Master Sword instead of the Dusk Sword, because the sword and dust, the whole charge thing, I based it on the Master Sword, where if you have 100 or more health, you can do the charge attack, just like, you know, Link can do in any Zelda game.
Sure.
So it was based on the same thing. Plus, it reflects just like the Master Sword does. You know, you can knock stuff back with it.
Could you do that though? Like, without them knowing?
No, I can't do it without them knowing. You kidding me? No, it's Nintendo. You have everything has to go through like 17 approvals. It takes like 3 to 6 months just to, you know, get it approved to be released, even after it's done. But I'm gonna ask. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I mean, we're barely started on the Switch port because we're still working on PC stuff. You know, Mac, Linux. GOG will be the next place it's out. The DRM free version. So that'll be cool for all the GOG nerds. And then consoles, more just update. I mean, we put out a whole roadmap. We're just gonna keep updating it, man. As long as people want stuff, we're gonna keep doing stuff. As long as you keep buying it, we'll keep making shit.
Do you have a target that you're going to try to hit?
Nah, when it's done, I mean, you know, it's, we don't, I'm not, you know, I hate release dates and stuff because you will always miss them. Our games are only, our stuff is only ever available soon or now. That's it. It's like, you know, when it's like Dusk, we didn't announce the release date until like a month before. Because otherwise, like, we wanted out at Halloween, right? And it didn't come out until December 10th. You know, so like, you're always going to like, man, I hate release dates because especially on the indie side, like, you're always going to miss them. Like, release dates are the devil. And if you don't need to, like, the only people who need to have release dates are like AAA companies because they have investors and numbers to hit and, you know, people they got to pay back and they got to hit quarterly earnings statements and shit like that. Like, we don't have to do anything. We just have to try to make the best game we can and sell as many copies as we can so we can stay in business.
December 10th isn't a bad idea though, because you had the you have the demonic Santa's elves, not elves, the reindeer. The demonic Santa's reindeer in there chasing you around. So.
Yeah, we had that. hang on one second. Okay. Sorry, I got a call. I had to stop it. Go away, phone. Yeah, it was. Yeah, we did that. Yeah, we did the little update. Plus, it was the 25th anniversary of Doom. December 10th was when Doom launched in 1993. So December 10th, 2018 was the 25th anniversary of Doom. So there was a lot of cool Doom shit going on that day. John Romero like made an announcement. And, they put out a new video, like 25 years of Doom. And then, hey, Dusk is out. So it made a lot of sense. Obviously, Doom being one of the biggest inspirations for Dusk. And people were like, that's a good day. And I was like, it is a good day. Plus, December is a good month to release an indie game because there's not a lot of other shit coming out. So you can get a lot of attention.
We have a question from our mailbag in our Discord, our VIP Discord. This is from Maltese. First name is Mike. He said, how did you work on the pacing of the game? The enemies have a way of surprising you in a way that feels familiar, yet they still get you every time.
I mean, we went encounter by encounter, level by level, room by room. You know, and when I would go through the game with David, and we'd, you know, do iterations on the levels. It's about creating, every combat encounter should be, you know, fun and a bit challenging, you know? So it's about placing the right amount of, you know, fast moving enemies, versus melee enemies versus, ranged enemies versus, you know, tougher versus weaker cannon fodder enemies, being able to put ones that like guys that explode in front of, you know, it's putting power-ups in different places, just making it so every, you know, room full of bad guys is, you know, gives you all the tools to clear out the room in really fun, new, different ways. Like, if you play, the thing about Dusk is you could, you know, every time I play certain levels, I play it, like, completely differently. Like, E2M1, for example, when I get to that main area, like, there's, I always do it a different way. Or E3M3, the Forgotten City, I do that in so many different ways. It's about making it fun. It's about making it, you know, unique. It's not just like, here's a bunch of rooms with a bunch of enemies in it randomly. Cause you know, it's not, you got to create a fun combat encounter. And that's just about like iterating and playing it over and being like, yeah, that makes sense. Or like, no, too many red fireball mages, you know, feels unfair. You never want it to feel unfair. Right? Like, you want to be like, if you die, it doesn't feel like the game's fault. It feels like I didn't play good enough. And my best example for that is always Super Meat Boy. Like, when you die in Super Meat Boy, you never feel like the game is too hard or the game is unfair. It's like, I could have done that. I just didn't do it well enough. You know, you never want it to feel like the game's fault. Like, this sucks. I'm having a bad time. It's always, if you die, you're like, fuck it. I know what I did wrong. I'm going to go again. And that's how combat encounters should feel. Plus, it's about making levels that are, you know, big and open enough, but linear enough so that you're leading the player with never, but not holding his hand. So you always know where you're going, where you've been. Not making these giant maze-like levels, but not making them so linear that it's just like a bunch of corridors. And it's just a combination of all these things that we've learned making other games, plus playing literally every game we grew up with, taking the best parts of all those. And that's kind of how we create levels in Dusk. I mean, everyone's got all these, like, they remember like their favorite moments or their favorite rooms, their favorite set pieces. That's because, you know, we took every single one as its own little thing. You know, we went level by level, brick by brick, piece by piece, encounter by encounter. And that's how we beat the game until we were built the game until we were done with it. And then when we were finally done with it, we were like, okay, we're happy with every single level, every single part. There, you know, there's not very many parts, if anywhere, I feel like it really drags at all. You know, it kind of changes itself up every single level until you're at the end, and then it's over. And I feel like that was because we built the game the way that we did. I feel like it obviously definitely ramps up and gets better as, you know, you go through episodes 1, 2, and 3. But that's because, you know, me and David, we're just learning as we go and, you know, learning so much about how you build a game like this and what people like. The fact that we had it in early access and people were able to, you know, play it and then give us feedback as we were making the game helped, like, in, you know, tremendously.
All right, Andy, any final questions before we move on?
I think I want to go play some Dusk right now.
Yeah, I'm feeling it. Yeah,
for some Dusk.
All right, so Dave, is there anything else that you want to tell our listeners about Dusk before we move on to the Nintendo News Report?
No, I mean, you can get it now on Steam. It's coming soon to GOG. It's coming to Switch this year, we swear. You know, you can check it out at DustDev on Twitter. I'm at Dave Oshry on Twitter. WeHate.money will show you the rest of our games. NewBlood.games. Go to NotFortnite.com. That'll take you to the Dusk page. Blood3.com. Macaroni.art. SpookyQuake.club. I bought a lot of really stupid URLs before Dusk Blood.
That's classic. All right, let's move on then to the Nintendo News Report. I think that was a pretty damn good lead story, Andy. One of our best yet, I believe. I do feel it. But there is some news to talk about this week, Andy. So please take us into the Nintendo News Report.
I mean, talk about announcing games too soon.
Oh boy.
Metroid Prime 4 got some headlines this week.
Yeah, it did.
And it was not pretty. So apparently Nintendo came forward and let us all know, a little Metroid Prime 4 update, that the last, I would say, at least two years worth of work that went into Metroid Prime 4 has been completely scrapped since it's in the trash can. And they've since given the project back to Retro, with the first three Retro Prime games.
Uh-huh.
And they're to start from scratch. So release date is TBD.
They didn't explicitly say that they're starting from scratch, but they did say that they did not like what they saw. Andy, you have a tinfoil hat theory on this. And I actually, the more I think about it, I think that tinfoil theory might actually be kind of accurate. I don't know. It just somehow makes a little bit of sense. I don't want to steal your thunder. Tell everybody what your tinfoil.
This is just totally insane. So just, Dave, just for a second, just indulge me. I was at work the other day when this news broke, and I thought to myself, what if they never really started making this game? Ever. Like, some guy had Photoshop one day and I was like, oh, I'll do Metroid Prime 4 logo. And then Reggie was all like, we should put this in direct for E3 and make everyone all excited about the Switch. But there was never ever any official development for Metroid Prime 4 in any capacity.
We never got a screenshot. We never got anything. Nothing.
Now,
we got
just
anything.
To compound this story, I posted this question on the Switch Reddit asking, they're like 1 million-ish plus, you know, subscribers. What if they never actually started making Metroid Prime 4? The amount of rage that I got from those people, let me tell you, they were like, you know, lying to your investors is illegal. I'm like, yeah. And? So is murder, but it still happens.
You can say that you're working on something and it doesn't actually have to physically be like programmed at that point. You like,
right.
Production is working on something.
Right. But the amount of butthurt that I got,
well,
from that statement,
you know,
because like most folks were sort of applauding Nintendo for being so transparent. Like, all right, guys, we know you're in a bad spot. It didn't turn out so great for you, but we like your honesty. That was the general consensus from the gaming community as a whole.
Forgetting the last 16 months of lies.
Right, but when Final Fantasy VII Remake gets a little bit of a hiccup, people totally lambast it.
Well,
does Nintendo just get off scot-free because it's Nintendo? I'm trying to understand what the difference
Square
is.
Square doesn't get off scot-free because it's Square.
Yeah, but Square showed something at least. They gave us some footage.
They also showed something with Final Fantasy XV 9 years before it came out.
Yeah, okay, it happens.
Final Fantasy 15 was supposed to be a Final Fantasy 13 game.
Right.
So,
what was your response to this news, Dave? Did you hear about this Metroid Prime 4 debacle?
Especially when you have Did he leave? He did leave.
Holy shit, he left a call.
He's gone. All
right, let me... Holy shit. Fascinating turn of events. You want to hit up in the G chat? Say, hey, Dave, we didn't mean for you to leave. Oh, man. Only on this show, kids, could a guest just walk off without a...
I mean, he has the run of the show, unless he's got to go.
Right. I mean, he has to go like in 40 minutes or so, which you could have wrapped this in the meantime. But while we're waiting to hear back from Dave, hopefully he'll get back on the call. We'll see about that. Yeah. But that wasn't the only Metroid Prime 4 news we got this week-ish. There were some other things that were bubbling as well.
My stomach is bubbling. My goodness.
Right.
That's all right. I guess the Retro Game Club is going to be a little less fun now.
But, well, you're going to lose. That's what's going to happen for sure. Yeah, now, I think with Dave being on.
Now you're going to change the game.
Now I can make it just the most weirdest piece of shit game ever in existence.
I fucking hate you. So it looks like... It looks like the... Oh, his internet died. Okay.
Oh, there you go. That's what happened.
Understood. This.
You thought he left us?
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. We're like, did he leave us?
So you got your internet shit the bed right when it was a possibility that you thought you were done?
Yeah, no, I don't know what the hell happened. I'm going to go reset my router. I'm on my phone now. I'm going to try to get my headphones working. Right. But of course, I've got one of those phones that doesn't have a headphone jack.
Fucking god.
Oh,
I hate this fucking future. Yeah, the Pixel 2 has no headphone jack.
Isn't that so just bullshit?
It's so stupid. Because I can't charge it and listen. I can't charge it and use headphones at the same time unless I use Bluetooth headphones.
Or a pad to charge or some shit.
Yeah, it's real dumb. I don't like it. I'm not a fan. Alright, I got my
We'll let you get settled in.
Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can.
Yes,
okay, I've got my headphones. I'm on my Wi-Fi. Not my Wi-Fi, my 4G. I don't know. I'll fix my router later. Metroid Prime.
Yes! Yeah. Metroid Prime.
How about that bullshit?
That's what I figured. I don't play Metroid games. I haven't since like Super Metroid. I think it was super cool that Nintendo came out and was like, listen, the game's not going well. We're gonna literally start from scratch. I mean, that's better than just like leaving people in limbo for years, right? So like props to them for that.
So you didn't hear Andy's conspiracy theory, but he seems to think that there's a very good possibility that this game was never in development. And
I doubt that
because we never saw one picture.
Some fun with the people.
We never saw one image. We never saw one video. We never saw one anything about this game in the 16 months since it's been announced. And I don't know. I think that based on that premise alone, ignoring the fact that they have investors that they're not allowed to lie to, based on that premise alone, I think it's a possibility that they were still in pre-production and just said, and they couldn't get seed eye to eye with whoever the fuck was making this thing. And they're like, you know what? We're done. We're done.
As someone who makes games, and knows people who make games at like, you know, every level from one person studios to AAA. The weird thing would be that if they would announce
you know, announce that without having anything going yet, like announce the game literally before they're in pre-production, that would be kind of nuts. That doesn't seem like a very Nintendo thing to do. It's not like they had to announce Metroid Prime 4 anytime soon. They could have announced it at, you know, E3. When did they announce it? Two E3s ago?
That was their first E3, like when the Switch was coming out. It was their first.
Yeah, so they didn't need that. So there was definitely, they were probably in pre-production at least then. But yeah, it was probably, they probably just were prototyping and making stuff happen in the game that was, you know, it wasn't the game that anybody wanted. There was probably a lot of internal bullshit going on. And then they were like, you know what, we're going to give it back to the studio who did the first few games, which they probably should have done in the first place because people liked those games, I think.
Yeah, they sold well for a reason. So we got three of them.
Yeah.
So I was reading this article, like the senior editor over at Game Informer was saying how Imran Khan, how he revealed that there was, they called it an experimental ad hoc development process for the game.
What?
Which means that it was being made. I'll tell you right now what the fuck that means, Dave.
Oh, boy.
It means it was being made in different countries.
Oh, so like virtual, like we do.
Right. And then Nintendo was like doing some site visits on each team, essentially. And
yeah. Like, that's all work. Like,
are you
not
eating
game.
Potato chips?
No, I'm eating, I'm eating a cucumber. I'm a healthy boy.
he said that some things, I can't with this fucking cucumber. He said that some things were under control. Some things appeared to be.
Right? I actually work for Nintendo. I'm doing this to drown you out so people can't hear what you're saying.
Oh, is that what you're doing right now?
No, I'm actually resetting my router. Keep going.
That some things appear to be under control, and yet other things were literally on fire when they went to go see the progress of...
Who said that?
This is coming from Imran Khan, who is Game Informer's senior editor.
I don't know that guy, but he went. He went to go see it.
No, he learned this from like his little insiders, or you know.
Oh yeah, that sounds about right. Making games is fucking impossible. Like it's so hard. It's the hardest thing. A game like that, doing it virtually, seems insane.
Right, like, such a huge IP as well.
Yeah, games like that, you need to have like an office with everyone in it working at the same time. You can't like. You can't do that virtually. Like we work virtually because there's like five of us on, you know, working on Dusk. But even if we had an office, like stuff would get done way better, sooner, faster, you name it.
Come yeah, but you guys get on Slack or whatever. You know,
yeah,
you
we just, use, yeah, we, well, yeah, we use, dis, we use Discord. Yeah. And we get it done. The fact that they were trying to do that for Metroid seems insane, but maybe it was just a failed experiment. Who knows? It sure certainly seems that way.
Yeah. But what also came out of this was that apparently Metroid Prime Trilogy has been done for a long time, the re-release for the Switch.
I heard that, yeah. And so they would hopefully, you know, release them all at the same time, one big bundaroo, make a shit ton of money. It makes sense to me, you know.
Yeah, and apparently this setback with Prime 4 sort of stalled the reveal for this at the Game Awards last year of Prime Trilogy.
Yeah, I mean, plus they could always just release Prime Trilogy this holiday and sell a shit ton of copies, and then have like a, maybe they'll have like a preview demo like included, like buy the Metroid Prime Trilogy and get a free, you know, demo of Metroid Prime 4. I mean, that's what I would do.
Well, I missed when games did that.
I mean, they did that. I mean, they've been doing that. Remember Octopath Traveler had a demo like right when they announced it. It was like, look at this cool new Final Fantasy looking thing, and you could play it right now.
I get that, but like,
and everybody laughed at the name,
like back when you bought Zone the Enders, and you got
the
like,
name. The name still sucks. I hate Octopath Traveler as a name. I wish they should have called it Saga Frontier fucking 3.
I concur.
Yeah, no, it's cool. My internet's down, and I have no idea why. What did you guys do to my house? I have to play Anthem. Damn it!
There's like two servers for Anthem, so you're fucked either way, Dave.
True.
On PC, it's fine. Like I'm like the only person I know with no issues with Anthem. They're like, "Good luck getting in, nerd." And I was like, "I played it for
I'm in right
like,
now, bitch."
Yeah, I played like 3 hours last night, and it was completely fine. But I think plus I played like late at night. Like, I think most of the issues were like people just had to wait. Like, God, like wait an hour. Like, if you're trying to log in, like, as soon as it goes up, of course you're gonna have issues. The whole world's trying to play at the same time, nerds. Like, you know, go outside for 20 minutes. It'll do you some good.
Dave, you're my favorite guest of all time. I gotta tell you right now. I love your candor.
I'm number one.
All right, Andy, let's get through the rest of this news because we're on time constraints. So let's
all right. So that wasn't the only Nintendo update that came out this week from Nintendo about Nintendo stuff. That's a great segue. Nintendo announced that there's no plans for a Switch successor or price cut at this time.
Yep, because it's still not the end of the first quarter, so they're not going to announce
Switch 2.0 is more like it.
I mean, do they need one? Didn't the Switch just come out like 2 years ago?
Yeah,
it's doing fine. There's absolutely no reason. It runs fine. It's fine. There's nothing wrong with the Switch.
Some of our listeners would prefer if their Switch had 4K high def graphics.
I'd be happy if it just had fucking Netflix. Like, what is the hold up with that?
Listen, Dave, I would sacrifice Netflix for my game in 144 FPS, all right?
It's got Hulu, so you can watch JoJo, so that's important.
Oh, JoJo.
New JoJo last night. I got to catch up.
You are confirmed now, favorite guest. You keep getting better and better.
Nani? Why? I'm getting better. Like, I'm very upset that I have no internet right now, and I'm on this podcast. I'm like, that's great, but like, I have things to do.
But you're making it work.
Yeah, I'll figure it out. It's probably somebody probably crashed a car into like a transformer.
All right. And then the last big bit of news is that, surprise, surprise, they're working on a sequel to the Detective Pokemon Pikachu movie, should I say. So that's happening because I guess Legendary thinks that due to the hype and the buzz surrounding the movie, they're going to push a sequel out their ass in the near future as well. So there's that.
If you didn't think that was going to be a fucking massive franchise, you're dumb.
Dude, every kid is going to have their parents drag them to the movies to see this goddamn thing.
How many Detective Pikachus are going to be out there in Halloween next year?
It's going to be a whole like cinematic universe of Detective Pikachu.
Millions.
Dave is like,
I don't like the hairy Jigglypuff. Creeps me out.
He's definitely a little weird. He takes some getting used to, for sure. Takes some getting used to. I watched that trailer about
only Jigglypuff, or with the rest of them, with the little fur texture to them.
Yeah, which is fun. Like that makes sense. Like Pikachu would look for like hairy Jigglypuff just looks weird. Imagine like if Kirby was like furry, that'd be weird.
Oh my God.
Think about it. Think about furry Kirby.
I can't unsee that right now.
Okay, yeah, but what's the alternative? So. Like scrotal skin Kirby? Like, come on.
Hey, like one of those weird Egyptian looking cats.
Oh, yes.
Worse.
Those hairless cats.
All right, let's get into the hype zone because it's going to get fucking nuts. Put your seatbelts on, put your tinfoil hats on, because shit's about to get speculative in the hype zone. I don't know.
It's insane. Guys, grab your cucumbers and put them in your mouths.
Nice.
We are going to the hype zone.
Hell yeah, gay stuff. You guys need an air horn for this podcast.
We have it from time to time.
I have it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do.
Yeah, I've got the air horn button and the communism button. You just press it and it starts playing the Russian national anthem. It's great.
There you go. So January 24th was National Compliment Day. Look at that.
Oh boy.
I did not get one from you, Steve. I'm very upset about that.
Tell my ex.
What happened? I'm sorry. I was trying to put my phone back down and make sure it
doesn't. I was saying that January 24th was National Compliment Day, and I did not get one from you.
That is a lie.
Asshole.
Because you're a garbage person.
I'm going to go back into our conversations, and I will make sure that I find one, because I'm sure I did, accidentally, because you don't deserve it.
Well, I know I don't, but still, would be nice.
I think Dave might be trying to.
Is Dave like? Are you trying to build your own internet router?
No, I'm just opening my balcony so I can go outside. I mean, I might as well go outside since I have no internet. That's what you're supposed to do. I'm taking my own advice. Going outside, nerds.
So National Compliment Day was January 24th, and Xbox Game Pass on the Twitter sent a very, very interesting tweet to Nintendo America saying, "We really, really dig Super Smash Bros. Ultimate."
Aw, nani.
So yeah, nani indeed, Dave. So I think we can all assume, or at least confirm at this point, that we're getting a Smash port on Game Pass on Xbox, confirmed. We're getting Master Chief.
It's happening.
We're getting Banjo-Kazooie. We're getting Steve.
Count it.
It's all happening.
Count it.
We just confirmed the entire Smash DLC roster in one tweet.
That was it.
This is real.
It's the hype. It's the hype zone. We're in it.
This
who
is happening.
Who are we getting for the fifth one? Who are we getting for the fifth one? Is it Phil? Is it?
It's gonna be Phil, himself? Dude. It's Phil.
Absolutely.
It's Master Chief, Steve, Banjo-Kazooie, and Phil.
It's gonna be.
That's it.
It's gonna be photorealistic, like Mortal Kombat graphics.
Which makes sense why they chose Joker as the first DLC character.
See what I'm saying?
Because the joke's on us.
Right.
It's on all of us.
The joke is on us. We've been made a fool. A fool, Dave. A fool.
Oh god, I love hearing the outside sounds coming
from
Dave's.
It's a good ambiance.
Dave's headphones.
I'm surprised it's so loud and clear. I'll go back inside. Ooh.
Get Listen, back inside, nerd.
The only time the
where you belong.
Why, the only reason why you have to go back inside.
No fresh air for you.
I went to the beach today.
Beach? Where the hell do you
live? I live here. I live in Oceanside, California. I live on the beach. The beach is right
great.
There.
It was 6 degrees here last week. Pointing at it.
Oh, what's no? I mean, I'm from New York, so like you know, I'm aware that coal is a thing. It's just it's not a thing out here. It was 74 today, and I went in the ocean. It wasn't bad.
Nice, love it.
Yeah.
Well, we're gonna need you to put your thinking caps on here because we're about to play the Retro Game Club and. I am losing 4-0. I scored 0 points 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to need your help guessing this week's game that Andy is going to give us. The Retro Game Club is a game where Andy is going to give us 10 clues one by one. We have 3 total guesses between the two of us to guess what game it is before we get 0 points. If we get it on the first clue, we get 10 points, second clue, 9 points, and so on and so forth. So it is going to be a classic, a retro game from the GameCube and back. It doesn't necessarily have to be a Nintendo game or a Nintendo exclusive game, but it had to have been on a Nintendo platform from the GameCube and back. Do you understand the rules? If we would like to, one more rule, if we would like to ask a yes or no question of Andy, we could do so at the forfeit of a guess. Okay? But I want to get like 8 points. I want to be double Andy. That would be so clutch right now. Do you understand the rules?
I have no idea.
Perfect. Andy, take it away.
Beautiful. This game was released in the mid to late 90s.
That's it. That's all we're getting, you fuck? That's what we're getting.
It's
wow.
It's hard in first
we,
clue.
We agreed that we were not going to do that shit again. We agreed.
Is it Quake?
We can't. I don't know. I mean, it's possible he would do that. It's possible. You know what? I don't. It's as good a guess as any. Andy, we're gonna use a guess. Is it Quake?
It is not Quake.
All right.
Oh wait. We're supposed to use. Oh shit. We have only a few guesses.
We have 2 guesses left. All right, Andy.
Oh, I didn't know that. No, I want to take back my guess.
I like it. I like it because it was a possibility. All right, Andy. For 9 points.
I didn't know you only. I only know you only had a few guesses. I recant.
3 guesses.
It wasn't me.
It's fine. It's fine. It's fine. We got this. 2 guesses is fine. Andy, for 9 points, give us the next clue.
Yeah. You got it. 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 This game was published by Midway Games.
Midway?
Oh, Midway?
I know what it is.
Andy.
I know what it is. Yeah, he said Midway.
As a tornado blows through Dave's apartment.
So I live on the Pacific Coast Highway. And there's a lot of motorcycles.
Get your motor running. All right, so mid to late 90s could be Super Nintendo / N64 era Midway. All right.
Is it obscure?
That sounds like a yes or no question,
Andy,
to me.
Stop it.
Oh. Okay. I wasn't listening to the rules. I don't play by your fucking rules. Okay, if I unplug this thing,
take that thing out and plug it in the other thing. So midway. I don't know. All right, let's get another clue.
More clues.
Yeah, let's get another clue for 8 points.
All right, this game is also a port.
So
A port. It is a port.
It was a port of another. Okay.
Yes, so it did not originate on the console. It was a port. It was ported over from other systems.
So you're thinking it sounds like a port of an arcade game? Because
Midway was big on that.
Yeah, they were. When you say it's a port, it's a port of from one of the systems, that doesn't make any sense. Cause if it was on one, so we're talking specifically, we have to name the port, not the game.
The Nintendo game.
Oh, it's a Nintendo game. Of course. Oh, yeah, okay. Jesus. Of course. Yeah. It's a Nintendo podcast. Well,
was Doom 64 a port?
Doom 3
or something?
No, Doom 64 was an original game for the Nintendo 64. I have a copy of it right here. Why you don't blink at me, modem? I hate you.
Because that was Midway, and that was the mid to late 90s.
Yeah, it was actually Williams, which did all of Midway stuff. Okay, so the game was a port from Midway. So it wasn't originally on Nintendo. It's a Midway game. Mid to late 90s, which would have mean it's either SNES or N64. I'm trying to think of the Midway games that were not on M64. I'm thinking of NBA Jam. I'm thinking of Mortal Kombat.
Rampage. Gauntlet games.
Those were all...
They did a ton of racing
games. NBA Jam specific definitely was on... SNES first. Well, not first, at the same time as Genesis, I believe. It wasn't on N64, I don't think, was it? Mortal Kombat was, I believe, most definitely on Genesis first.
We've been talking a lot about Mortal Kombat lately.
Plus Mortal Kombat 11 was just the thing. Like, it's been in, people have been talking about it. So as soon as you said Midway, I was like, okay, it's got to be Mortal Kombat. You said it's a port. I'm not Googling anything. I'm pretty sure Mortal Kombat was an arcade game first.
Okay. Let's stick with first person shooters. So they had. What was the name of the arcade game? I think Midway did it because it was this. I don't know if Midway did it. What was the name of the cabinet? Because they had it at the bowling alley next to Terminator 2 game.
It was at the bowling alley near my house.
This is where my brain is going. What the fuck was it? Area 51.
Oh, that's a good guess. Area 51 was on
consoles.
It was on. No, that went to that was PlayStation era. Was it on N64? I don't know. This is why my internet's down, so I'm not allowed to Google this stuff.
Because Area 51, if I'm remembering the game correctly, it was pretty similar to those shooters at the time, right?
It was a light gun game. It was a light gun game.
At least the arcade game was.
Yeah. And then on, it was also a light gun game on PlayStation. I remember having the PlayStation Mad Catz light guns that I played it with. The answer is Revolution X, the fucking
Aerosmith game. Revolution X!
I remember that game. I knew where all the members of Aerosmith were, which was very hard. I don't know. I guess we're going to need another clue. The port thing doesn't really help.
Yeah. All right. Let's unfortunately. Get another,
unfortunately, let's get another so for 7 points. All right. So one of this game's most prominent features was the create player feature.
Oh, I think we're definitely in the realm of NBA Jam.
Create player.
Did NBA Jam? I'm pretty sure NBA Jam let you create a player. That was like the whole thing.
I know you could play as Bill Clinton.
He's getting up.
Mortal Kombat, you definitely could not create a player.
You could create your own shitty fatality, though, in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah, it's bad. So
what about the other fighters they did? Didn't they did
Pit Fighter?
Did they do Pit Fighter?
Fucking love Pit Fighter.
Did they do the Killer Instinct? They did Killer Instinct.
Taking me way back.
Pretty sure.
What, Killer Instinct?
Yeah, but I don't know if you could create characters in that. I don't think.
I don't think so. I mean, I feel like we're definitely talking about NFL Blitz.
Is that, that was guess?
No, that was on N64. Could you create your own player? Sure, but they all look the same anyway.
We might be wrong with N64. I mean, this could also be an early, very early. No, it couldn't be GameCube.
No, you said mid to late 90s. It's gonna be SNES or N64. Well, it was mid to late 90s, probably N64, because SNES was what, 91 to 95?
Yeah.
So if it's mid to late, it's got to be N64. 90, so we're thinking about an N64 game that was a port from Midway. So it's probably a port of an arcade game.
They did Ready to Rumble?
That was way later. That was Dreamcast era. Yeah, that's 2000s.
Dreamcast. Mm-hmm.
That's 2000s era. Make your own character. No, not NBA Jam at this point. I don't think it's Mortal Kombat either, unless it was like one of those bad Mortal Kombats, like 4.
Yeah, I like Mortal Kombat 4.
Right. You and 10 other people.
Should we ask a yes or no question if this is a port of an arcade game specifically? Do you think that would
point
this in the right direction?
We can ask that, or we can ask if it's a fighting game. Because Midway did a lot of fighting games. And I think it would answer the same thing. I don't know. It's definitely not Narc. That's a good game. Or Smash TV. I was actually, a buddy of mine that used to work at Midway is doing a whole documentary about Midway in the 90s. I should really know the answer to this. I'm in the documentary.
You're in it.
Yeah, but I'm in it. I have a whole section where I like talk about Narc. I'm like, I remember that.
Did Mortal Kombat eating a cucumber?
Did Mortal Kombat 4 have a creative character?
No, I don't know. Nobody played it. Not fair. Unfair question. Pick again. Yeah, let's ask. Is it a port of an arcade game?
Yes.
Okay, so yeah, think, we were right about.
I think
that.
You should have asked a second question. To be honest,
the fighting game.
It was a fighting game.
Yeah. I mean, we're still in the realm of it could be Mortal Kombat something.
All right, let me give you guys a clue. They'll put you on the right path. Okay. Alley oops and double dunks can trigger the new team fire mode.
So it's clearly, it's somebody that I knew it was fucking NBA Jam.
You could create characters in it, but what? All right.
Told you.
I don't remember that at all. But what NBA Jam?
I knew it was. There was more than one.
I think there was like 99.
There was like versions, but it was all versions of the same. You know, it was like updated versions of the same game, essentially. How specific do we have to be? I mean, it's NBA Jam, unless you're being like, haha, just kidding. It's NBA Showdown.
If there's anything I've learned about Andy is that he is willing to fuck me at any given moment and not in the good.
Nice. Nice. Now we're back at cucumbers. Is it NBA Jam? That's my guess.
Well, and this is it, though. This is our last guess. You know what?
All right.
Is this NBA Jam? Is the game NBA Jam?
The game is NBA Hang Time.
Oh. God damn it! I knew it.
I knew he was.
I knew it was like too easy. When I said NBA Showdown, I was like, I remember playing that in '96. It was like NBA Jam, but kind of boring.
NBA Hang Time.
Nobody's gonna fucking remember that.
Especially,
it was the first to have the create a player mode, and it had double dunks and alley oops as well, which are not in NBA Jam.
NBA Jam totally had alley-oops, like 900%. You could throw the ball, and then the other guy could slam it into the thing. That was like totally a thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, not according to my Wikipedia knowledge here.
It's Wikipedia. Anybody could. Oh yeah, flag it. Anybody could edit Wikipedia.
My next clue was going to be the theme song. What You Gonna Do was produced by rapper M-Doc.
So yeah, that would have helped. That would have helped
so much.
The fuck is M-Doc?
That's it, folks.
I think a lot of people have asked that question throughout the
years. This was way too obscure. I was not prepared.
Part of the Proven Gamer Podcast Network, which includes Trophy Horse, a PlayStation podcast, and Game Stuff, a general games discussion podcast. You can support Proven Gamer at Go to Proven Gamer and clicking on Amazon affiliate advertising. There are rumors that Proven Gamer is going to be a podcast network going forward, but I'm not sure if that's true. But we'll see. You could support them over there at provengamer.com. You can follow our show on social media. We are at NDS Podcast on both Twitter and Instagram. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/groups/NDS Podcast. I am Batchild27. Andy is at Pants Guy. And Dave, tell the people one more time where they could find you.
At Dave Oshray on Twitter. Dusk is at DuskDev at the Newbloods, newblood.games, wehate.money, notfortnite.com. That's about it. Just, you know, Google Dave Oshray and be like, oh, wow, that guy.
Thank you so much for joining
us. That guy looks like he eats cucumbers.
That guy looks like he's got terrible.
That's my kind of guy, Dave. It's my kind of guy.
Thank you so much for joining us, Dave. I do appreciate it. It was a blast hanging out with you. Hopefully when you're have something to announce for Switch, maybe we could have you back on to talk about it. And
it was fun.
Awesome, man. Thank you very much. Special thanks to our contributors, Zazu Pitts of Sour Note Productions for our theme song, 16-Bit Attack. Thank you, Dan Colon of Dinosaur Machines Podcast for our Nintendo Dual Screens logo. Thank you, Andrew Douglas, for all of our podcast art and everything else under the sun that you draw for us. We do appreciate it. You can follow Andrew at Angimoto, AngiMoto. Remember to support us at patreon.com/NDS podcast, and you can now subscribe to our Twitch channel, twitch.tv/dualscreensstreams. That's it. That is going to do it for us here. Andy, is there anything you'd like to say to the listeners before we go?
Yes, stay tuned for next week's show. We'll be having on, what's this lady's name? Eva Gaspar of Abbey Light Studios to talk about Cursed Castilla.
Or Castilla.
How do you pronounce that word?
Or Castilla. Nobody knows the answer.
I mean, it's not. No, you know.
Find out next week.
White boy. It's not
Find
Castilla.
Out next week.
Castilla. Hey, my internet's back.
Hey!
Ta-da! That's it, folks. This has been Nintendo Dual Screens episode 83 for the week of January 28th. And as always, please be excellent to each other.